Say it again.
She was talking about having a stiff neck. I said, if I slept like that, I'd have a stiff neck for a month.
Hey, Sawyer, will you do me a favor? I want you to pass this around. You can look at it first. There's two seeds in it. One has some green on it, and one doesn't. And one is from a lemon, and one is from an orange. And then when at the end of the message, I'm going to see which one of them you think is green. You can take the top off if you need to, but you don't have to. And it's just, since you'll be guessing, there's no real skill, so there's no prize for getting it right. Just in case you're wondering.
So what are we guessing again?
Which seed is green, the orange or the lemon?
Okay. I think it's a lemon.
And if you laugh at my glasses, I'll throw something at you. Probably the glasses. If you would, open to the Gospel of John, first chapter. I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to tell you how this teaching came together, because it went a different way than I thought. I had intended to talk about how growing in the knowledge of the Son of God will change us into His likeness. And from Ephesians, you know, what some people call the fivefold ministry, we call the ascension ministries. One of the main things that brings us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ is, I got to look at the time, growing in the knowledge of the Son of God.
Yes.
So, the Gospel of John, as you go through it, there's a real contrast between people that know Jesus and people that don't have a clue. It's just over and over and over. We're going to read a little bit about it and then we'll talk. We'll look at some more. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We all know that Word is Jesus. Mm-hmm. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So there's the first place where we hear people don't comprehend Him. They don't get Him. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Still talking about Jesus, not John. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. It doesn't say they didn't know who He was. It says they didn't know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right, or some versions say the power, to become children, some say sons, of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And of course we know born there is talking about born of incorruptible seed, born again, that's what he's referring to. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I had been reading that. A lot of times, I may read the Gospel of John a lot. When I don't know what to teach on, I start reading the Gospel of John. And a lot of times, I'll be reading and I'll go to bed, and it'll just be going over and over, and I'll get something, and if I don't get up and write it down, the next morning it's gone. So Jane will tell me, I'll go, you know, I'm thinking, she says, you better get up and write it down. You better, or at least grab your phone and make a note. So what I was thinking when I was laying there in bed was, why does it say he came to his own and his own did not receive him? Why doesn't it say he came to his own and his own didn't know him? Let me find what I'm looking for. He was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received them, he gave the right to become the children of God. Why did he change from know him to receive him or accept him? I don't get into a lot of Greek words because it goes down too many rabbit trails and wastes a lot of time. But receive is a good word there. You could say accept. They're both accurate. What's the difference between knowing him and receiving him? And also right here, right after that, it's talking about people being born by the will of God. And we know that's by incorruptible seed. And we know that he's been mentioned right here as the Word. And the word is the incorruptible seed, right? And as I was laying there in bed, I thought, Jesus is the seed. Jesus is the incorruptible seed.
Yes.
And I thought, I had never considered that before. I've never thought about that before. He's how we get our inheritance. I mean, there's agricultural seed, but there's also reproductive seed, right? If you're talking about heirs, you're talking about seed. Mm-hmm. When you talk about Abraham's natural heirs, you're talking about seed, and we don't have to go very far down that road for obvious reasons. But if you're talking about an inheritance and you're talking about heirs of promise, there has to be a seed to be an heir. He's the incorruptible seed that made us heirs of the kingdom.
Yes.
He's it. And laying there thinking, I was trying to think of where, is anywhere in the scripture that calls him a seed? And all I could think of was in John, I think it's chapter 12, 24, some Jews came to his disciples and said, we want to see Jesus. And Jesus said, except a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it falls in the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. And I thought, well, that's a seed. That's definitely a seed. And I have a confession to make to you. I hardly ever read the book of Galatians. I almost never read it because it's just a lot about the law and what the law can't do and what the faith could do, and I just never felt, I don't know, it was kind of dry to me. Somehow I ended up in the book of Galatians after I was looking at this. So let's turn there now. This is going to be chapter 3. And before I completely leave the Gospel of John, I want to point out something about knowing or receiving. Okay? Because when you talk about receiving, I think that's when you're talking about seeing. You receive seed. And you're not talking about knowing that he's the Son of God. You're talking about a seed inside of you that contains everything he did. You know, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his glorification, and you have that in you. So as we're going to see in a minute, that means you're carrying around his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his glorification. That's inside of you now, because it's a seed. And the seed, that seed that's being passed around right now, a seed has a lot of information in it. If you you can't look at those two seeds and tell which is which. You're going to be totally guessing. If you, those seeds have the information of what the tree is going to look like, what the leaves are going to look like, where it's going to grow, what climate, how much water it needs, how much fertilizer it needs, how much cold it can take. And that's just the tree. That's not even getting to the fruit. They have information in there that's going to tell the fruit what shape to be, what color to be. Do you eat the skin or do you peel it off? What's the fruit? What's the flesh like? We have a seed in us that's going to bear fruit. And we don't learn what he's like by reading about him or by hearing about him, right? We want to know what he tastes like. And the only way to do that is to experience it. I can't tell you what an orange tastes like. I can't tell you what a lemon tastes like. I can tell you one's sweet and one's tart. But the only way for you to really know it is to taste it. And the only way for you to really know and receive Jesus is to know him, not experientially, not to sit and read about him. Anyway, Galatians chapter 3. And like I said, I read my Bible. I've been reading my Bible for years. I didn't know this was here. Let's start in verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed. No one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. I didn't even know that was there. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but by God, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed, Jesus, who should come, the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Let me jump ahead a little bit. Verse 25. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, speaking of the law, but you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that makes perfect sense. When I wrote it down, I wrote down Jesus is the seed, and then I thought, I don't know if I can get up there and say that. I don't really know that that's true. And like I said, I hardly ever read Galatians, and I saw it and I said, yay, how do you say it? It's the truth. If you would turn to Romans 8. I'm going to start with verse 16. Remember, we're looking at heirs now. We became heirs. Our inheritance is due to this, him being the seed, the sinners. Make sure that's where I want to be. Yep. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So he's putting another condition in there to be an heir, isn't he? Isn't he?
Yes.
He said, we're already heirs if we believe in him. The seed's in us. We don't have to work. We don't have to strive. That's going to mature. It's just exactly like the parable in Matthew 13, where the thing that causes the seed to grow is actually persecution. That's the sun that shines on it. We've looked at that parable in depth before. And all you got to do is put your roots down and endure. That's the thing that lets the maturing take place, is the roots, deep roots. So here, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So all that's coming from that seed in us. That's how we become heirs. And like it or not, we have to suffer with him, to be glorified with him. And that's all in the seed. That's all inside of you. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. He's coming up on the resurrection here. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Oh my goodness. First we're talking about seed and an heir, and now we're talking about childbirth. Do you see a pattern?
Yeah.
The resurrection is the ultimate consummation, I guess you could say, of that seed being in you. I mean, you bear fruit all the time, and yeah, you're going to be delivered unto death for him, and you're going to have to fellowship in his sufferings, and you're going to be part of the whole thing, but the ultimate fruit is the resurrection, just like it was with him. So this is talking about the resurrection of all of us. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. My dog-eared Bible pages like to stick together. I'm going to start in verse 8. Now, Paul doesn't come out and say, this is what it's like to be a natural heir of Abraham according to the flesh, and contrast that with to be an heir by faith. But that's what he's talking about. He doesn't use those words, but the whole first part of chapter 3, he says, we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. He's talking about spiritual heirs. compared to circumcision, which is heirs according to the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And then he goes on to say, a Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church concerning the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. And so he's contrasting this, what it's like to be an heir according to the flesh. But what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, the seed, that I may know him. Now here's the difference between knowing him and receiving him, okay? Here's the seed, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. And here we go again, the same pattern we just saw, the resurrection right after that. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's the seed. That's how it works. There's another place that says he has to fill up the suffering of Christ. In Revelation, I think it's chapter 5, the souls that are under the altar that are saying, that have been slain, and saying, how long, God, do we have to wait? And he says, you got to wait until the rest of your brothers are fulfilled, right? So that seed carries with it the suffering, the being conformed to his death, the resurrection, all of that, and the glorification, because we're going to be glorified. All that is in that seed that's inside of us. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians. I can't see the clock without looking over these silly glasses.
Don't worry about the clock.
Chapter 4. Start in verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts. Let me find my place again. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Anytime you're talking about the fullness, the completion, the perfection, the maturity, you're always going to find the knowledge nearby. And it's not knowing that he's the Son of God. That's not what it is. It's knowing him. It comes from the seed. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, these bodies, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side. This is going to be a lot of reading, guys, but that's okay. He's fixing to tell you the stuff that comes against him because of the seed that's in him. He's fixing to tell you the things that make the seed flourish. He's fixing to tell you the sun that comes up on that seed and tries not to kill it. The sun comes up on the seed to make it grow, and he happens to have deep enough roots to endure it. But that this stuff coming up is because of the seed. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Did you see the pattern?
Mm-hmm.
And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. Bang, there's the resurrection part of it. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, man, I wish I could call that light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then guess what he's going to talk about? The resurrection. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing that he's been, that's the other two places. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Mm-hmm. For in this we groan. This is the same exact groaning that we looked at in Romans 8. Same exact groaning. Earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, our new body. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So there, all that is contained in that seed. Mm-hmm. Every bit of it. You don't have to. Don't get me wrong, studying your Bible is really good. Spending time before God is really good. Prayer is great. Fasting is great. All these things are great. And if you say, Uncle Stan, you don't look like you fast very much, I'm going to throw something else at you. But,
well, I got your jar, so.
So the seed is his death that we carry around with us, his suffering, the fellowship. What a phrase. The fellowship of his suffering. If anybody ever called you up and said, we're going to have fellowship this week, you're probably going to say, what you used to say, would that be a spaghetti supper? Is that a covered dish? Are we going to play cards? Are we going to sing hymns? No, we're going to suffer together. What? I'm going to pass. You know? Fellowship means sharing. You know? Paul is telling us in no uncertain terms, if you're an heir, you're going to share in this suffering. And it's going to cause this seed inside of you to come to maturity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to culminate in the resurrection of the dead. That seed is the same seed that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 when he compares the death of the natural body to a seed being planted in the ground. And then he says, you don't see what's going to come up after that. It's just a seed of grain or something, just like that seed we passed around tonight. You don't see what that's going to be. You have no idea what it's going to look like. But it's all contained in there. Seeds are miraculous things. And how many times does he use seeds to explain the kingdom? Many times.
Mm-hmm.
Many times. And like I've said before, I don't think the seed came first. I think the concept of the kingdom came first. You know, God It says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. So God's plan for redemption and for reclaiming us and the world and everything existed from the foundation of the world, inside of him. And it got planted in everything he ever did. I know I've harped on this before, but if Jesus was walking through an agricultural region and he saw him planting seeds, he didn't have to make up a story about it. He could just interpret what they were doing for you. He said, yeah, that's like the kingdom of God. That seed falls by the wayside and the birds eat it. That one has no root, so that it springs up in a hurry and dies from the sun. And that one brings forth fruit. And the birds come and they lodge under the branches. That's like the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Just like the city in Revelation is like all the nations flowing to it. Just like it says in Isaiah, in that day the house of the Lord will be established in the top of the mountains and all nations will flow to it. He could have walked by the elementary school that I went to when I was 6 years old and said, hey, look, out of that whole great big field, there's only one tree. And every kid in that whole tree has got his Tonka toy and his little bulldozer playing in the dirt because they're under the shadow of that cool tree. That's like the kingdom of God. He could see it anywhere. If he went through a fishing village, he said, hey, you see those guys throwing the fish over there, the ones they want to keep, and throwing the ones they don't want over there? That's like the kingdom of God. You see that shepherd over there separating those sheep from those goats? That's like the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to make stories up. He could see it everywhere he went. He could probably go to a construction site in the middle of town and say, let me tell you, this looks like the kingdom of God. So the same thing is true about the seed. God knew what he was going to do a long time ago. And it says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And when the Word was made flesh, the kingdom was made flesh, and the plan was made flesh, and it's inside of us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
How about the seed?
I say the green.
You say the green?
Is an orange.
Who all says the green?
I didn't even see it.
Oh, you didn't see it?
Well, you know too much about stuff, but even about plants, but even you won't know this.
That's my guess.
Oh, I want to know which one is the lemon.
Oh, the lemon is the not green one.
Not green?
Nope, lemon's a green one.
Lemon's a green one?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Oh.
No. Everybody that thinks the lemon is a green one, raise your hand.
Did you guys see it?
Well, I guess we're a lot like the people in the Gospel of John because dang many of us didn't know either. Y'all are right. The lemon was a green one.
Ah, darn it.
How many times y'all spat out a white lemon?
The lemon was the green one.
Yep. The lemon is the green
one. You were a kid playing sports and that one parent brought the orange slices and you're like, oh man, not like fruit snacks. Y'all chew on that?
Yeah.